Chapter 29. Genesis chapter 29. We continue in our series of emotions. And tonight we look at perhaps one that is a passage that's often overlooked, or we consider it in a little different light. In Genesis 29, all right, we're going to be looking at a family relationship. And we're actually going to be looking at the topic of loneliness. You wouldn't think, perhaps, in a household, in a family, a husband, wife, and children, and many around, you wouldn't often think that there would be cases of loneliness. In our story today, without the word ever being mentioned, we're going to see really a woman who is quite lonely. It's a something that affects many of us in many different ways at many different times. Loneliness isn't always the fact that there is nobody around. Loneliness can manifest in many ways. Sometimes it can be even though there's many there, but it seems that nobody cares. You feel all alone. Tonight we consider this story of what happens in Genesis chapter 29. We come into the story in the middle of a family drama. Jacob, as we see in the very first part of what's going through in 29, as you know, Jacob, he grew up, he's a twin. There's a story of Jacob and Esau and the issue with his parents. And Jacob, eventually, he has to flee and get away, lest his brother kills him. And so Jacob, he's gone. He has gone to his uncle Laban, and he's working for him. He's doing work there, and he falls in love to a young woman named Rachel. Well, as the story goes, and Jacob, he makes an agreement with his uncle Laban, and he works 7 years in order to marry Rachel. At the end of 7 years, he goes, he's getting married to Rachel, and he gets married, and all of a sudden, after marriage, and the next day, he realizes, uh-oh, this isn't Rachel. This is her older sister, Leah. Now, don't get in, we're not going to get into how in the world does that happen, okay? Perhaps there's beliefs, perhaps he's drunk, okay? I don't know the case, I don't know what happens. Either way, that's not who he thought he was marrying. Can you imagine the family drama that's going on now? It gets worse, okay? And because of this, he goes back to his uncle and says, "You deceived me. You tricked me. The deceiver was deceived." And so him and his uncle had made an agreement, Laban, that he would work another 7 years for the younger daughter. And so when all this drama works out, Jacob now has two wives and their sisters, Leah and Rachel. And this is where we get into our drama today and to see what is going on in this relationship. But I'm sure you can already imagine the difficult family environment going on here. Well, the things are actually just going to get worse for Leah. Jacob has married Rachel now, and if you look in chapter 29, I want you to look at verse 30 as we begin. In verse 30, it says, "So Jacob went into Rachel also, and he loved Rachel more than Leah, and served Laban for another 7 years." We see tonight as we begin that Jacob loves Rachel more than Leah, his first wife. The first thing I want us to see tonight is that while others ignore us, God pays attention. In times of loneliness, when you feel that nobody notices, when you feel that you are ignored, God is still paying attention. In fact, the first thing we see under this category tonight is Jacob hates Leah. In verse 30, it told us that Jacob, he loved Rachel more. And we get into verse 31. It says, "When the Lord saw Leah was hated." She's hated. And we go, what exactly does that mean? The first thing to understand the words there and what is being used, it doesn't mean necessarily that she is being abused, that she is being treated harshly. But rather, it's really showing that there is a clear difference in the treatment of his two wives. There is very clear affection and love for one, and the other one, for whatever reason, she is not receiving the same treatment. It is very clear there is a difference. Rachel receives more affection and more attention. However, as we'll see in this passage as we go through, and Jacob fulfills his duties to Leah as a husband. He provides for her, he takes care of her, he meets physical needs, but clearly his heart is with Rachel. One year we were in Iowa with extended family for Christmas. I was a kid at the time. My mom, she grew up in Iowa, all her family's there. And so we went back one year for Christmas. And the family, they did a gift exchange. And how it was even the kids would get one gift from like an aunt and uncle or from one family. Grandparents gave to all of us, but the aunt and uncle, they would give to one niece or nephew. There were so many. I remember being there, and everybody's getting their gifts. Everybody's opening gifts from grandparents. And then when we got the ones from our aunts and uncles, my brother, he got to open his first. And he got, as he's opening, he got a couple Game Boy games. He got a lot of really cool, nice stuff. I got nothing. Can you imagine an 11, maybe 12-year-old boy sitting there watching his brother next to him who's getting some really cool things, and I'm sitting there with nothing? Now, it is. I don't believe it was intentional as I've gotten older, and my family didn't either. We figured that one, two couples accidentally gave my brother, both of them gave him a gift. We were pretty close in age. But I remember as a child sitting there going, why does he get so much? Oh, why did I get nothing? I remember the hurt there, and like I was forgotten. Like it wasn't that anybody hated me, but wondering, what is it? Why do I get nothing? And it's lonely. And you see, in this situation, it's that time so much more. Here's a husband and his two wives. Jacob, he's taking care of Leah. He's providing for her. He's probably not abusive. However, it is very clear that this passage, that Leah knows that she is hated. Look at the following verses. We read verse 31. When the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, because the Lord has looked upon my affliction, for now my husband will love me. You see the situation? It's very clear that not only does God see and notice that Leah is treated differently, that she is hated, Leah noticed it herself. And through the names that she names her children, her boys, and she declares and is saying, look, I can tell that I am hated. And even look at verse 33. It says she bore another son and said, because the Lord has heard that I am hated, he has given me this son also, and she called his name Simeon. What a hard time for her. Her firstborn son, she names Reuben. And she says, for now my husband will love me. Or how about her second son, Simeon? The Lord has heard that I am hated. Do you hear a lonely woman there? Do you feel somebody who is unloved, unwanted, somebody who feels ignored? Well, not physically, but certainly feeling ignored. The first thing we see is a husband, Jacob, who ignores her. And then we see, though, the difference between God. While her husband is ignoring her, God is very closely paying attention. The one in her life who should have been closest with her, her closest companion, ignores her, and God is looking upon her. I have to wonder, what has Leah done in trying to gain the love and affection of her husband? And one thing we know for sure is that Leah believed certainly that when she was given birth to these boys, these children, when her sister Rachel is not having kids, and she certainly feels, oh, certainly this is going to bring us together. This is going to create love. This is going to create a stronger bond and a relationship. This will bring affection and love. When she has a second son, she still hopes this. She continues to hope, maybe, just maybe, she's saying with her second son, just maybe he's going to attach himself to me. Just maybe this will bring us together. Maybe his hatred will turn. You see, in this day and age, in this culture, sons were an extremely high blessing. If you would have boys, you were blessed beyond measure. In all of her hopes and her attention and her husband's affections, we get this stark contrast with God. Her husband's ignoring. Her husband has no relationship. But look again at what these verses, how it contrasts Jacob with God. In verse 31, it says, "And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated." You see, God is not, there's nothing that he is unaware of. God is completely involved in her life. He knows exactly what's going on. He knows of her loneliness. He knows of how she's being treated. And thus, God allows Leah to begin to have children. Some have commented that actually, in this time period, in this day and age, especially in Scripture, you don't see where they kids would be coming as often as she is having kids. She's having a lot of them in back to back to back, it seems, in rapid succession, especially male children. And so very clearly, she is being blessed by God, as it says that God opened her womb. Leah even notices that God is fully aware. Look at verse 32. It says that she conceived and bore a son. She called his name Reuben, for she said, "Because the Lord has looked upon my affliction." He has looked upon this torment. He's looked upon what is happening to me. He is fully aware of the issues that is going on in my life. In fact, the name Reuben, it means see a son. And there's actually a little play on words. She named him Reuben, see a son. But Leah, as she's showing this faith, what happens, the name of Reuben, it sounds very similar to what she says, because the Lord has looked upon my affliction. It's a play on words is what she does. The Hebrew would have sounded very similar. And she's showing her faith and hope. She's saying, my consolation is that God sees me. When my husband doesn't, God sees me. The same thing happens in verse 33. She conceives again and bears a son and says, because the Lord has heard that I am hated. And again, the name sounds. Simeon means one who hears. When her husband doesn't listen to her, he doesn't hear or notice the hurt, God does. It also makes us realize that Leah has been pouring out her heart to God, sharing of what's going on in her life. I share this, that there's not much worse in this world than to feel like you're alone, to feel like nobody cares, to feel like no one ever pays attention to you. I still remember to this day, I don't always remember too many messages that I heard growing up as a kid or a teenager. I remember one, it was at a Word of Life event. It was called the Super Bowl. It was in Cleveland, and there's thousands of teens there. We watch a hockey game or a soccer game, and then you stay up all night. You go bowling. You play games. But I remember the speaker that evening, he was telling a true story. How they had a group of teens, and they had a fake boat, just a fake scenario. And they were putting, they'd say, okay, everybody but one person can fit on this boat to survive. One person won't live. And you need to determine how do you get all the people, how do you choose who gets to get on that boat? The point was, he meant to show how they choose for all the wrong reasons. So it was supposed to have a spiritual application. And but the teens, it said they responded as they were going through there, and they were talking about, okay, well, this person has this skill, this person can handle this, this person has this quality about them, and there was one teen girl left out. The story goes, she went home that evening, she wrote a note that said, nobody cares, nobody will miss me, and she committed suicide. The feeling of loneliness, the feeling that no one will miss me, the feeling that that I am left out is a real problem. It affects many people. I share this because I want anybody in here to know, if you ever feel left out, you ever feel alone, you ever feel like, hey, no one cares, first off, I want you to know, above everybody else, God is watching and He cares for you. That might not always help you feel comfort at all times. I also want you to know that while you can cry out to God, He'll always listen. He's always there. I do also want you to know that we here at this church, and many others would probably agree with me, we're available for you. I want to know these things so I can help you. But whenever you feel alone, please turn to God, because you are not alone. Not only did we first see tonight that when all the world ignores us and nobody pays attention, God does. The second thing I want us to share is, as we go forward, not every situation of loneliness leads people to such life-altering decisions. Not every time, like I just illustrated. And as such, I want us to look at when we are in these times of loneliness and we're sitting there go, what do I do? What is my right response? I want us to consider, while we could complain to God, instead we should focus praise on God. That might seem like, well, I'm not sure why you say this. Look with me, we read the next few verses. Look at verse 34. And we're going to see, again, she conceives and bore a son. We're on to her third son. And so she conceives and she bore a son. And now this time, she says, now this time, my husband will be attached to me because I have borne him three sons. Therefore, his name was called Levi. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, this time I will praise the Lord. Therefore, she called his name Judah. Then she ceased bearing. You see, as we look through here, I want us to see one, Jacob is still unresponsive. Her husband is still not changing. Leah, as we saw in verse 34, she has a third son. But clearly, situation has not changed. After she's had two sons, after Rachel has still had none, she names her son Levi, saying with a hope of attachment with her husband. Surely a third son ought to really bring us close together. Surely that has to be the trick. The first two wasn't enough, but third time has to be it. That has to be sufficient. And so she names him Levi. You know, this time he has to be attached. I've given him three. One can only imagine the pain that Leah must have here. Jacob is fulfilling duties to her as a husband, and yet there is still no love or affection in this relationship. It still hasn't brought them closer together. I wonder how hard must it be to work hard to please someone, and yet it feels as if they never notice, as if they never care. This is what's happening by the time she has her third son, Levi. Surely by now, this must be enough. And so while Jacob, he continues, and actually it's going to keep going on, we never see that he comes back to her and shows her this love and affection. But when she has every reason to complain, every reason to be upset, when she finally gets a fourth son, notice this change, a change in perspective in verse 35. When she bears a son again, she says, this time I will praise the Lord. Again, the meaning in the name Judah. Judah means let him be praised. When Jacob is unresponsive, when he has shown no affection and love, when Leah is perhaps at her lowest moments, alone and in a loveless marriage, God continues to bless her. And thus, instead of becoming bitter and resentful, she demonstrates her faith in God by praising Him. And she now has four sons. She now has four reasons to be thankful, four reasons to be praising God. And if you look back at all these names she's going through, we saw that God has looked upon her affliction. God, you've noticed me and what I'm going through. We also see that God has heard her. He's listened to her and her cries. And when those closest to her are ignoring her, it isn't bringing any resolve to the relationship with her, God continues to care for her. God continues to bless her. God continues to give her these great gifts. As a teenager, my grandfather's health was failing. My grandma needed help taking care of him. And so as a senior in high school, I think it was a senior, maybe it was 11th grade, but either way, the 1 year in high school, every evening for that year, I would spend the night at my grandma's, my grandparents. They lived about 2 miles from my parents. And so I would go there, I'd spend the night there. That way, if grandpa or grandma needed any help, anything, I was there to take care of them. And if I was up a lot during the night taking care of grandpa, I would sleep in before I went to work. You know, it must have been my senior year. I worked for my dad. And so I would sleep in before I'd go to work. One time, though, my grandpa was in extreme pain. He had some problems with his feet. He had artificial arteries that had started disintegrating, and they were going down into his feet. Extreme pain. And so much so, he thought he was going to die. And he started to struggle with, why am I going through this? Why is God allowing this to happen? And he started to have a lot and complaining about it. And I remember my dad encouraged him, and he'd say, "Dad, what are you complaining about?" Not about the pain. He's saying, "Dad, I want you to consider all the blessings that God has given you." And I remember my grandpa, he started to list all the blessings. He started the list that he was up in his 70s. He started talking about the salvation he had, how God had worked in his life, and he no longer was smoking, how he had victory over other issues in his life, how he had a family serving God. He just started listing all of these. Did you know, after that time, I never heard my grandpa complain? Even though I know he was in extreme pain. To hear praises in time of great difficulty was an encouragement. Leah here, she is in clear pain. She is hurting dearly. She has every reason to complain. I don't think anybody in here would fault her for complaining what is going on in her marriage and what is happening. And yet we get to see this great picture. When she has every reason to complain, she turns to God and praises Him. And her fourth child, "This time I will praise the Lord." You know, it's very easy when we're lonely to focus on being left out, to focus on I'm alone and I'm unloved. But it is so much better to focus on God and all that He has given to you. Everything He has done for you. The verses that follow this into chapter 30, actually we get into even more family drama. Rachel and Leah, they really start having a bit of a competition that goes on, and their handmaids get involved, and the handmaids start having children. Rachel, through her handmaid, gets two children. Leah gets two more boys through her handmaid. And then we arrive in chapter 30 to verse 14. And we're going to see that Leah is going to have two more sons, actually a daughter as well. But look at verse 14. In the days of wheat harvest, Reuben went and found mandrakes in the field and brought them to his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, "Please give me some of your son mandrakes." But she said to her, "Is it a small matter that you have taken away my husband? Would you take away my son's mandrakes also?" Rachel said, "Then he may lie with you tonight in exchange for your son's mandrakes." When Jacob came home from the field in the evening, Leah went out to meet him and said, You must come into me, for I have hired you with my son's mandrakes. So he lay with her that night, and God listened to Leah, and she conceived and bore Jacob a fifth son. Leah said, God has given me my wages because I gave my servant to my husband. So she called his name Issachar. You see, what we're going to find out in these last two sons is that while her circumstances don't ever change, her hope in the Lord remains. Follow along with me, for you would. These verses we just read, in my opinion, are extremely disturbing. I can't imagine a family dynamic like we are reading here. And Jacob, really what we see in him, he only fulfills a duty to his wife. It's very hard. In fact, it's actually already weird enough for me that he has two wives, let alone that he has two sisters for his wives. Let alone that, then you get the situation with handmaids involved. And now it gets even really weird. Now the wives are bartering with one another over their husband, and we find out Jacob, he just goes along with it. It's a dynamic I can't understand. Jacob just does what he is told to do, and he fulfills this duty. In all reality, he's kind of treated like a servant. In this family drama, there's no care, there's no love, there's no affection in his relationship with Leah. Hey, even the name Issachar, in my opinion, is a very sad name. The name Issachar, this fifth son, it means hired. She paid to have this child. And Leah, she names him this hired, saying, God has given me my wages. I've got what I paid for. What a sad, sad story. Jacob only does what he's required to do, but nothing more. Jacob fulfills an obligation. I wonder how many relationships are like this. How many people are just going through the motions? I would imagine in our own churches this is happening. It might even be happening today. Some people that you never even know it. I have seen many marriages that have failed because they are lonely, because there's no love, because they get tired of just sticking it together for other people's sake. I've seen this happen with pastors, missionaries, deacons, and church members. It tells me if it's an epidemic and even the leaders, you know what? It's probably in most churches today. But friend, I'm telling you tonight that Leah gives us a better example. While she is unloved, while she is lonely, and while she is sticking it out, I believe there's actually a greater reason why she lasts through this, why she keeps going. Look with me in verse 19. I want us to see that Leah actually never gives up hope. She's had this fifth son, and we get to verse 19. It says, and Leah conceived again, and she bore Jacob a sixth son. And Leah said, God has endowed me with a good endowment. Now my husband will honor me because I have borne him six sons. So she called his name Zebulon. The name Zebulon, actually, it sounds a lot like the Hebrew word honor. And she's saying, look, God has been good to me. He's given me this great endowment, this great payment, this great honor, and now my husband will honor. She's talking about a double honor in reality. Leah, this is her sixth and final son. She's going to have a daughter after this. But as we look at the last son, we see that Leah, she says, God has given me a gift. And at the very least, my husband will honor me for this. Hey, you would think by now that she would have given up. You would think after five sons and nothing's changed, that she'd say, I'm done, this is it. I'm no longer going to hope that our relationship will be restored. And yet, in all of this charade, all of this, as she learned her husband is a lost cause, she continues to cling to hope. Clearly, in all of this, Leah hopes that her circumstances with Jacob would change. She desires love. She desires affection. She desires a relationship. She desires a close bond. She doesn't want to be lonely. She doesn't want to be unloved. But she never loses her focus on where all of these gifts have come from. In naming her final son Zebulun, she says, God has endowed me with a good endowment. She recognizes all that God has done. And she never lost her focus that all of these blessings have come from God. You know, I applaud the husband or wife who never gives up hope in a relationship. I applaud them who stick together even though they have lonely nights, when there's many tears that are spilled. I can tell you, I don't know how hard that is. I hope I never have to. I admire those who are single, those who are widowed, those who feel alone, that can hold on to the promises and assurances of God. I hate it personally when my wife is gone for an evening and I'm alone with the kids. You know, I miss my wife. It's kind of lonely. And yet I know there are single parents out there where the days are hard and the nights are long, and yet they never give up hope in the Lord. Hope for comfort, hope for rest, hope for satisfaction. I share tonight that God is always there. God is always watching. God, He blesses you in many different ways. And I encourage to never give up on God, to continue to trust in Him. I can't promise that the loneliness and the sense that things will change, but I can promise that God is blessed in many ways. Focus on the good things. Focus on what God has given you. Loneliness is hard, but you're not alone. God is there. Let's spend just a moment in prayer, and then we'll go over our sheet together. Lord, tonight is... we looked at an interesting dynamic of a relationship between Jacob and his wife Leah. Lord, I can't imagine anything close to having a relationship like that. I can't even fully fathom how hard this had to have been for Leah, how lonely she had to feel being left out and clearly mistreated. But we do thank you, Lord, for the perspective she shared. How much she longed to be with her husband and be loved, and yet she looked to you, knowing that you looked after her, you watch, you bless, you're ever present. Lord, if there's one even here tonight that struggles with being alone, not feeling loved, may they know in a real way, may they have assurance that you have not left them, that you have not forsaken them. But even more so, may our church be one that cares for those who are hurting in such a way. May we show love and care for those who are single, those who are widowed or widowers. May we show love and care for those in broken relationships and homes that have been torn apart. Lord, may we share the love that you bestow upon us. May it never be said, Lord, that anybody here would be lonely. May they know that they have brothers and sisters in Christ who love them and care for them and are always here. But even more so, may they know the love of their Father. So thank you for this lesson tonight, Lord. For it is in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, tonight we're going to do something just a little different. I'm just going to give you a couple updates, and then I'm going to encourage you in the time we have left. If you would split.